Well, with all of that, you'd think that this morning was going to be a patriotic message, and it's not. It's not. I have been a long time, rebel about thinking that the calendar ought to tell me what to preach. I sometimes observe the calendar, but I always try to observe the Lord's will. He brought me back to the book of Psalms again today, and so we'll be in Psalms chapter 98, if you would like to turn there. Psalms chapter 98, the title of the message this morning is The Purpose, The Place, and The Practice of a New Song. The Purpose, The Place, and The Practice of a New Song. And we'll be mentioning that through the message today. Psalms chapter 98. Beginning in verse number 1, we read these words, O sing unto the Lord a new song. I maybe should say as we start, how many of you heard the song Joy to the World? We sing that around Christmas time. Isaac Watts is the one that wrote that. I understand that he had read this 98th Psalm several times in trying to write that song, Joy to the World. At the age of 16, he told his father complainingly, I don't like this most of the songs that we sing in church. And his dad said, if you think you can do better, go write a song. And he wrote a lot of them, a lot of good ones. And this is the information that he put in that song, Joy to the World. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. That'd be something to see, wouldn't it? I've read where the Bible says that the trees clap their hands, and now it talks about the floods clapping their hands. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. I'd like to have a couple fellas come this morning. Brother Weaver, would you come? And one of the other fellas, I don't know where everybody disappeared to, but we need one other somebody. Josh, why don't you come help us today? Will you come? Will you do that, please? I'd like for you to get one of these to every person, maybe divide those up with him and give them to him. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures today, and so rather than have you turn to all these scriptures, we printed them out on that sheet. That will never replace your Bible, but it will work as a handy part of your watching and listening to the message today, the purpose, the place, and the practice of a new song. They're handing those out and glad that they can. It would be a wonderful thing if the 50 copies we ran out of. I think we're safe on that today. We have a number of people that we know of that are traveling, and the highway is never a safe place to be. Pray one for another and ask God to get them back safe. Thank you for all who have prayed for us. That work out about right? Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. That's good that you forgot yourself, not someone else, brother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. All right. In the study of this chapter in Psalms, I was reminded that the Lord used the term new song in the scripture several places, and I did some studying of that. You have a copy in your hand of each place that is used. It's used 9 different times in your King James Bible. And I was reminded as I studied, what does 9 mean in the Bible, and what do we associate that with? Could I say that there are no coincidences, there are consequences, but no coincidences in your Bible. And I believe that some of the times that number 9 appears ought to speak to our hearts, even as we read this verse. First off, the number 9 appears 49 times in your King James Bible. One time less than 50, half of 100, and so forth. So it appears a relatively good number of times. 9 is a multiple of 3. 3 times 3. And I believe it speaks of some things as it speaks to our hearts. First off, it speaks of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, which incidentally, all are equally important in the creation and in our salvation, in our preservation, in our resurrection, all those things, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one, the Bible says. And so we need to understand that. It also reminds us of time. You have no time but past, present, and future. That is all. That encompasses all of time, past, present, and future. It also speaks, I think, of life. Life consists for a child of God of a body, soul, and a spirit. Don't get anything more than that. Body, soul, and spirit, those three things, that's it. You're complete. And the fact is, you're complete in Him, by the way. Amen. So you're complete in Christ Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. An unsaved man has a live body and a live soul, but a dead spirit. So he's incomplete. And we need to understand that today. There were 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord Jesus. One returned to give thanks. 9 were not thankful and therefore did not return. Went about their way having their own party, I guess, and forgot to say thank you to the Lord. It ought to remind us when we're reminded of that portion of Scripture, it ought to remind us to thank the Lord that He healed us one day of spiritual leprosy when He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. And Jesus raised Himself from the grave on the third day, 72 hours after His death. He resurrected and after His burial, and we need to thank the Lord for that. Help us not to be a thankless people. And then Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 15 of a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one was gone. So he left the 99 in the fold and went out looking for that one. In Galatians chapter 5, and this I think is very, very important. In Galatians chapter 5, there is a list of 9 things that the Bible says are the fruit of the Spirit. 9 things. And as we go down through this list of verses where this appears, the term new song, I think we'll come to the conclusion that maybe we would be more fruitful if we allowed that new song that we'll find God has already placed in our mouth if we're saved. But we don't always let it flow from our mouth and from our lips. And so we look at this today. We look at this new song mentioned in our text and 8 other places in the Bible. So we want to look at some things here today, trusting we can be a help, a blessing to you. First off, we see the person of the new song. That's in Psalms 33 and verse number 3. You have a copy of it there. Sing unto Him a new song. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Our song ought to always be to the Lord. We ought to never allow anything past our lips that would embarrass the Lord or shame the Lord or injure the Lord's reputation or disallow the Lord from hearing us. We ought to never let anything come through our lips that would cause the Lord to turn His back and not to listen to us. The Bible tells us that sin causes God not to hear. He will not hear, the Bible says, and so we need to be careful what we speak. Need to be careful what we sing. The Bible says, sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. And I believe the word noise there is not indicative of the lack of skillfulness. I was pleased yesterday when Brother Nathan delivered some keys to our house and said something about cleaning. And he said, yes, Carrie Jo is there cleaning all by herself. No, he did not say that. He said, she's there practicing. And I thought, good. Mrs. Weaver heard me say one time, practice makes perfect. In German, they say, Übung macht der Meister. Practice makes perfect. And she said, Pastor, perfect practice makes perfect. Not just practice. And so we need to practice. And so the Bible tells us to play skillfully. We ought to exercise our ability to proclaim the goodness of God. We ought to work on our language and work on our ability to meet people and process people and introduce ourselves to people. That'll be an automatic thing. Many things that believers sing in their life would not be accepted to the Lord if we offered them. You know, this world, I don't know about the music of this world. Sometimes I get put on hold and the music is so obnoxious that I hang up and risk calling back again. And sometimes they've changed it. Sometimes they say, okay, fella, you're tough. Listen to the whole thing all over. Amen. But some of the things we send out of our mouths are not appropriate. And then the Bible teaches that our song ought to be played skillfully, practiced. No amount of talent will allow you to be what you can be if you're very talented, you practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice it right, because if you don't, you learn it wrong, and then you have to unlearn before you relearn. The person. Then there's the placement. In Psalms chapter 40 in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he, the Lord, and he hath put a new song in my mouth." You know, sometimes when I think of some of the things I used to think, I wished I had a mouthwash for my brain. I wished I had some way of cleaning up my brain. And I found that talking to the Lord Jesus and reading the scriptures, he said, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And so here he tells us he hath put, if you're saved, God has given you, he has put into your mouth a new song. But here's the question, what are you going to do with it? Is it just going to be canned music that you put somewhere and never let it out? Are you going to rob the Lord of the glory that you could bring him by singing this new song? And so he says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." And so it not only is new, but it's pleasing. Listen, that song that Jesus put in your mouth when he saved you, though at first you may have been somewhat reluctant because of bashfulness or timidity or something, you may have been a little bit reluctant to let it out, but you'll find as you live in Christ and serve Christ that one of the most satisfying things you can do for both yourself and your Lord is to practice that new song he gave you. And it doesn't have to be sung. It could be sung off key. I don't think it doesn't tell you anywhere in here what key it should be in. It doesn't tell you what the melody ought to be. It doesn't say there has to be any music behind it. The music ought to be in your heart, and it ought to be playing over and over and over again how Jesus reached down and saved you, set you free from sin. And you remember the day that he did it. You remember how it was before. You remember how it's been since then. And it ought to just kind of fall out of your mouth when you think about the things that God has done. It's a very rewarding, very pleasing thing to do, both the person who is praising God and to the Lord who receives it. And then the Bible says it is valuable in the ministry of a child of God. The Bible says it's seeable. It's seeable. When you're up here and Brother Weaver is leading the songs and I look out across the congregation, you can see some people are enjoying. I mean, you can see the song in their face. You can see the song in their countenance. Others, you think maybe their wife gave them a burnt biscuit for breakfast and they didn't enjoy it very much, so she put something on and ended up it was garlic or something, and it was even worse than it was before. And so they're just bound and determined they're not going to have a joyful spirit about anything. And shame on us. The Bible testifies that the song that God gave us is a seeable song. It's something that the world can see. And of course, the Bible says in our text, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What song does the world hear us singing today? You know, I heard all my life, there's two things you don't talk about in public. You don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion, is the way it was said. For years and years you'd hear that. Well, I figure everybody in the world is violating the first part. Everybody's talking about politics. Everybody. And I don't talk much about religion, but I sure do want to talk a lot about the one who saved me from religion and gave me salvation and set me free. Yeah. We ought to want to talk to people about the Lord. I came out of the airport yesterday when we were getting ready to be picked up, and I a way that I found it's easy to talk to people about the Lord is I saw this gentleman had on a hat, and it said, he said, a wounded veteran from Vietnam. And so I stopped and just introduced myself to him, said hi to him, found out he was from a little town in eastern, southeastern Colorado. And when I knew the place and said, that's out by Lamar, he was surprised that I knew it. And he was just a bubbly kind of a guy and just a good old boy and a farmer. But it's just easy to talk to him. When I started talking about the hat, thanked him for the price that he paid. I don't know how much blood he lost. I don't know what part of his body he received a wound in, but I was thankful for him. I was glad I got to meet him. Glad I got to brag about Jesus to him. And, you know, he lives in the land of the free, of the home of the brave, but he can still die and go to hell. One of the saddest things about going to Arlington is when you look out across all those nearly a half a million graves and you understand that many of them are in hell today. You don't go to heaven because you die for your country, and I'm not trying to be mean. You go to hell because you die without Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is the answer. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he suffered. And so the Bible says that this song we sing ought to be seeable. And of course, it's placed in our heart, in our mouth, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you're not singing that song, then something's wrong in your relationship with the Lord. You need to understand that today. So there's the placement. And then there's the possibility. In Psalms chapter 96 and verse number 1, the Bible says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And I'm glad today that all the earth, anyone can qualify to receive the song. And anyone who has the song is qualified to sing the song. And we need to sing the song. We just need to get busy doing that. Don't you get tired today of hearing people all their excuses? I can't because, and the list is this long, single spaced in fine print. It gets longer all the time. Sometimes when people tell me why their service is bad, I said, I know. Excuse me. Let me just save you some time. COVID, right? Oh well. I get tired of all the excuses. The excuse of race, the excuse of place, the excuse of faith. I mentioned a while ago the author of Joy to the World, and his name slips my mind. Watts, yes. They said, I read a story about him a while back, and they said he was a little fella. He had a whole lot of hair, uncontrollable hair, and he wore a wig on top of that. They said it was difficult to look at him. He had such a hooked nose. I can imagine people thinking they could probably hook him onto a coat hanger or something, hook him onto a coat hook. But boy, he got busy and sang for the Lord, had music for the Lord. I heard the first song that he composed, and I'll bring that to you tonight if I don't forget it. But a tremendous man with music. He didn't let his face keep him from being one who's going to serve the Lord. We use all kinds of excuses. How about disgrace? I don't suppose there's a man alive or a woman alive today that knows the Lord Jesus that hasn't sometime in their life felt the shame, the disgrace of disappointing the Lord. You know, when Peter was out by that fire and he cursed and swore, said he didn't know the Lord, and then he looked in and he saw the Lord Jesus and their eyes met, and Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. And then sometime later, after getting right for the Lord, he preaches a message and 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day. Oh, how we need to understand disgrace. You can come back from disgrace. You can if you come back the Bible way. There's a way to come back. There's a way for God to restoke that song and cause you to want to sing that song. And so the possibility is there for the entire world. You receive the new song by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you ought to just sing it. You ought to just sing it. I think of people who just, you know, they have no voice. I used to say that when Lester Roloff was alive and Brother Jimmy Johnson was alive, that I never would be the worst singer in the world. But both of them have graduated to glory, so I know maybe where that puts me. But Somebody said, there must be a lot of music in Brother Sutton because not much of it's ever come out. And that may be true. But I remember, too, that God gave a voice to the crow. God gave a voice to all these screeching animals and one thing or another in the world. And if he doesn't mind hearing them, he sure doesn't mind hearing me praise him. We need to be busy serving the Lord. There's a possibility. And then there's the prompting. In Psalms 98, verse number 1, it says, a psalm, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Bible says that God has done marvelous things. How can we think about the marvelous things that God has done and not want to share that with other people? I mean, when God invades our life with a miracle, when God invades our life with a touch of glory, when God invades our life by answering our prayer, when God invades our life by us reading the Bible, and he says, go back and read that again, and you read it, and it just fills your heart, and your mind and your heart are full of thanksgiving and praise to God. How can we not understand his marvelous things? We live in a world today that plays down the work of God. They want to make it a work of man. They want to make it a work of their own. They want to say that they voted on it. They want to say that they controlled it. They want to say that they made it happen. Things that happened, things that were instituted years before them, now they want to take the credit for those things. Listen, if you can't see the marvelous works of God, you're dead from the shoulders up. You're dead from the shoulders up if you can't see the marvelous works of God. And because of that, the Bible says the prompting. One of the things that God does to prompt our singing that song to a lost and dying world are the marvelous things that he allows to come into our life. Maybe we ought to stop a moment and let you think of something marvelous that the Lord did for you just recently. Like maybe gave you a raise. That's a pretty marvelous thing. Pretty marvelous thing. Like maybe cut down your expenses. Somebody says, my car broke down. Praise God, it'll never cost you another nickel if it's really broke down. Good. Amen. Amen. What's God done for you lately? What's God done for you lately? When we were flying in yesterday, it felt like our airplane just kind of slid sideways with a sudden jerk and a sudden stop. It felt like probably 20 feet. It's probably more than that, but it just kind of... We said, wow. When we felt the wheels touch the ground, we said, God has done marvelous things. Boy, Miss Judy, I tell you what. You know, Miss Judy could be mad at the whole wide world when she got on that airplane. One dido like that, she's right with everybody. She's mad at no one. Amen. Amen. I asked the pilot on the way out of the door, I said, when y'all did that dido over there a while ago, it kind of had us concerned. He said, yeah, we don't even know really what happened. And then I was glad I was getting off that airplane. If they don't know, what do we want to be on it for? Listen, the marvelous things of God, the good things that God has done that you can see, you can feel, you can sense, you know, ought to cause us to just want to shout how good our God is. The prompting. There's a proposing in Psalms 144, verse number 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Here we find there's a purposing. We need to purpose. You know, when we purpose to do something, it's a whole lot more effective. It's a whole lot more likely that we'll do that. I remember a young man, probably about 17 years old. He was jerked from his family with three of his friends and others to boot, and they were taken by force to an entirely different nation, placed under the rule of a wicked king. But Daniel purposed. But Daniel purposed in his heart. They did not defile himself with the food that the king did eat or the wine that he did drink. What have you purposed today that you're going to do? What have you purposed? We need to serve God on purpose. When we wait for to serve God by accident, it doesn't really happen. We need to serve him on purpose. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since someone approached you and said, I see a difference in your life. I hear a difference in your speech. I noticed a different way about you. How long has it been since someone asked you a reason of the hope that's in you? Listen, if we're not being asked what's made us different, maybe we're not being different. I'm not talking about being indifferent. I'm talking about being different. I'm not talking about rising above the crowd and being snooty. That's deplorable too. But neither should we sink down to mediocrity and let the blessings of the Lord and the miracles of the Lord go by us, never share them with anybody, never praise God for them. The Bible testifies that we ought to be purposing. We can decide or we can delay. We can do or we can don't. It's entirely up to us. Someone says, I don't think I can testify for the Lord. You're right. You're right. But if you purpose to testify for the Lord, you can. You purpose not to, you can't. But you purpose to, you can. You can tell someone that Jesus saved you, set you free. Someone says, well, I would be embarrassed. How many times has Jesus been embarrassed because we didn't tell someone that he lined it up for us to tell? God help us to purpose to have this new song, to sing this new song. And then, of course, it mentions the place in Psalms 149, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Now, I believe we ought to sing this song everywhere we go, but there is a special place. We sing about that special place sometimes, the mercy seat, but there's another special place. That's a New Testament Baptist Church congregation. And the Bible tells us that we ought to go to that special place. You see, God's always had a place. He has always had a special place. Now, God has always been in every place. And he hears the prayers of his people and so forth. And no, you don't have to be in a box somewhere with chandeliers and stained glass windows and carpet and padded pews in order for God to hear you. No, thank God you don't. But there is a special place. There's a special place that God wanted to meet with Adam and Eve clear back 6,000 years ago. He walked in the cool of the garden and he called for Adam because Adam wasn't in the special place. Adam was in some other place because he chose another place. He wasn't in the special place. And so God called for Adam. Adam, Adam, where art thou? He didn't call Adam because he didn't know where Adam was. He called Adam because he wanted Adam to know where he was. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he missed a blessing from the Lord. Well, I'm talking to people today on live stream, and you know you ought to be here. You know you ought to be here. You go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you go to the gas station, you go to the family reunions, you do everything else, but you can't come to church because of COVID. Yeah, right. It must say stupid up here if you think Brother Sutton's going to believe that. Amen. Nobody else believes it either, but the reason some of the others aren't saying anything about it is because they're doing the same thing. Birds of a feather and all that kind of stuff, but there's a special place God has to meet with his people. And he has something special for you every time you're there. Has something special you missed every time you're not there. We need to understand that there is a special place to sing songs. And of course, no honest person would actually doubt that there is a place. Study the Word of God. There's always been a place. Always been a place. Today there's a place. And then there's the people. And in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 10, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Everyone ought to desire, ought to want, ought to even crave to sing the new song. There are some qualifications. According to Psalms chapter 40, the Bible says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Do you remember when Jesus saved you from the penalty of your sin? Oh, he didn't make you sinless. He won't do that until we see him as he is. But he brought you up out of a terrible pit, out of the miry clay. That clay was so sticky and gooey, the harder you tried to get out, the more stuck you got. But Jesus plucked you out of there one day, set my feet on a solid rock, capital R for Jesus, and established my goings. put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So if you've been saved, you have that new song. But what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Wouldn't it be something terribly embarrassing if a Christian, a believer, a truly saved person was caught up at the end of life, say 70, 80 years, whatever, stood before the Lord, and that's the first time they ever testified for Him. And then, if Brother Dan Allen is correct, he says somewhere in the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to go back and show us all the things that He had lined out for us that we missed because we were too busy. We weren't really believing what He said. We were doing something we shouldn't have been doing, not doing what we're supposed to be doing, probably attending somebody else's business more than we were attending our business, probably maybe even telling someone else how to serve instead of serving ourselves. And so we need to understand that that new song, we need to be singers of that new song if we've been taken out of that miry pit. And then number 8, it says the praise in chapter 5 of Revelation, in verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This is still future. This hasn't happened yet. This is still future. And this will be a new song. And the song will be one we ought to be singing today, though. Thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, how often we ought to sing that and tell people that, talk to people about that. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, the Bible testifies that because this is still in the future, we're going to sing there. Why don't we do some of that practicing we were talking about before? Why don't we practice here for what we're going to do for forever when we get up in front of the Lord? And then number 9, there's the prohibition. There is a restriction. There is a can't do. And so, Revelation 14, verse number 3, the Bible said, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. You see, this is another song that's still not sung. Now, that's not your Jehovah's Witness friends. You know, the next time your Jehovah's Witnesses say that 144,000 are Jehovah's Witnesses, ask them which tribe they're from. I always like to see a man or a woman stand there with 10 kids behind them and they say they're one of these. No. They knew what tribe they were from and they were all virgins. Amen. And many of the Jehovah's Witnesses now have changed their doctrine. They say, we don't even want to go to heaven. That 144,000, that's already been taken up. We're just going to dwell here on earth. I don't want to be on earth when it burns up. Because God's going to quit speaking one of these days and this earth's going to come apart. And God is going to build a new earth and a new heaven. New heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But these men have a new song. But you see, every new song in the Bible is a product and a reward of trusting and serving the Lord Jesus. I mentioned at the start of the message, and I'm going to repeat it in closing, because the number 9 is so significant, there is nothing in this book that's insignificant. And the number 9, when you look at those 9 things that are named in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, 9 things. I wonder if our new song would help us with those things. And I wonder if those things would help us with our new song. If you're saved, you have a new song. God gave it to you the day that He saved you. And He's been waiting for you to sing it. If you're ashamed to sing it before people, go somewhere and close the door and sing it to Him. When you sing it to Him enough, you'll get so excited you'll have to share it with someone. Let us let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. What does the Bible say? Oh, sing unto the Lord, a new song. For he has done marvelous things. He has done marvelous things, hasn't he? Let's bow our heads, please.